Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Mud Toe at Midnight. I am your host, Mud Toe Sasquatch. I have played my flute and I have offered sacred fire in the four directions. Please join me in sacred ceremony. I speak as spirit moves me to speak, and I invite you to do the same by calling me at 646-595-3440. And now, Mud Toe at Midnight.
I've just noticed something that I had never noticed before. I've been using that opening. It says here since October the 18th of last year, so a year. It's actually coming up on a year. I've been using that opening for my show, and I said the word sacred twice. And it's kind of that, like, right on top of each other. I did the sacred this and then the sacred that. It's kind of bad form. I should have thought of a different word to use other than sacred, if there is one. I don't know. I have to go back and look at that. I'm not really in a great because I can't really record things anymore with the computer equipment I have now. But we'll take a look at it and see what can be done. This is Mud Toe at Midnight. I am your host, Mud Toe Sasquatch. I thank you for joining me this evening. Thank you if you're giving me another chance after last week, because last week we had a rather abbreviated show. It was about 5 minutes long. We're still trying to track down what was a technical issue, and we're still trying to track down exactly what happened. So I have a couple of things up here on my screen here that I'm keeping a careful eye on as the show unfolds. So if you should happen to hear me slow and stop, it probably means I'm looking at something on the screen because I don't multitask very well. I want to thank Chief Iggy Garcia and the crew on his Monday afternoon show for allowing me to participate with them. As some of you know, I travel now to the big city for my part-time job there, which I'm hoping may become a full-time job at some point. But I don't have a place, I don't have a full-time place to live there in the city, so Iggy lets me stay in his basement, which also is the originating point for their Monday evening broadcast. So I was there anyway, so they gave me a headset, and I participated in the show as best I could. The issue is that their show is a lot about doing psychic readings, and I don't do psychic readings. So I don't, in that sense, I don't really have a lot to contribute. But in the parts of the show where we're just talking about stuff, hey, that's what I do. I just talk about stuff, so I'm able to jump in and jump in and do that. And I also, in gratitude for Chief Hoop Watcher's hospitality, I provided the pizza for the, I say this not to pat myself on the back, but I'd say it feels good to be able to do things like that. It's been so long, such an empty wallet, and of course all the lessons that was teaching me, that's just fine. But then it's also nice to be able to be nice to your friends. So it was good to be able to do that and to socialize on that level, something I haven't been able to do for quite some time. The work I do is I work at a medical school as a fake patient. The professors give me a list of symptoms to memorize. And they send a medical student to see me, and I pretend to have those symptoms, which mainly is, I don't, maybe I have to cough a little bit. It's not a lot of physical stuff. I just have to answer the medical student's question. Do you have this? Do you feel that? You know, where does it hurt? And that sort of thing. And then the idea is the medical student is supposed to figure out what's wrong with me. It's sort of a experience for them before they're turned loose on real people. I enjoy that work. I feel like I'm good at it. I'm told that I'm good at it. And boy, it sure would be wonderful if I could make a living at it. But at this point, the hours simply don't exist. And of course, it's not a full-time position. There's not benefits and that sort of thing. So I'm doing it because it keeps a little bit of money in my pocket, and I can do nice things for my friends and pay the few bills I still have remaining until something full-time comes along. Hold on. Okay, that was just a screensaver. To say I'm keeping a watchful eye on my little studio screen on my computer here so that if anything unusual, anything untoward happens, I can report back to the chief at Yehud Watcher and tell him what the issue is here at the outpost, here at the Mud Toe outpost from which I'm reporting to you tonight. If you think this would be a good time to let you know about the other programs that are on with InsightsRadio.com, which is a fully owned subsidiary of BlogTalk.com. That's not correct. We're not owned by BlogTalk. We are a channel of BlogTalk.com. That's where you find us. Anyway, as I said, Iggy Hooplatcher and friends, usually Katie Singing Eagle, Two Crows on the show as well, and they will take your questions and do a reading for you in a number of different styles. It's a nice show, a very popular show, the oldest show on our network. Iggy has also started a new show on Tuesday afternoons at 11:30 called Lunchtime Wisdom, which is not a reading show. It's more of a talk type show, kind of a show I do, except there's more people involved. Mark Matheny, the star man, is involved in that one as well. I know Mark is relatively new to our group, so you might want to tune in and hear what he has to say. I don't know if Jenny Seek is still doing her show on Tuesday night. The Inner Voice Intuitive Hour. I enjoyed that show. Jenny is a sweetheart, and I haven't seen her for a while either. So tune in and see. I believe it's at 6 o'clock or perhaps it's... Or you can look at the list of the upcoming episodes on Blog Talk's little thingy where they show upcoming episodes, which I guess I could do for you, but I'm not going to, because I don't want to disturb whatever's going on with my computer right now. Let's see. Thursday night is Ananda of Love. Her show is at 11 p.m. on Thursday, and then Fridays at midnight. You're all Eastern time, by the way. And here at midnight is Mud Toe Sasquatch. Doing Mud Toe at midnight for you, as long as the technical connections here allow me to do so. And as you've probably divined by now, if you haven't heard the show before, it's been mostly just me talking. I have been called to be a healer of society, and my modality is the written and spoken word, which means I write and I talk. You can read my writing on mudtoesasquatch.com. My most recent bit of writing has to do with a renewal of spiritual values through my church, the Nemeha Church. I've decided to reactivate my voting status in the church, which means I have to take certain steps to renew my credentials. And one of them is I have to revise my medicine bundle and the accompanying documentation, which would be the bundle story. The written document in which I describe what's in my bundle and why I decided to put it there. Now, luckily for me, there was a class on bundle building taught by our boss man, Chief, I'll call him Chief Jonathan. I butcher his spiritual name every time I try and say it, so I'm not going to attempt to do it right now. But he taught the class and there were a lot of things I had never really known. I don't know if they're, nothing in Nemeha is new. It's a revealed spirituality of First Peoples that goes back thousands of years. But it's new to me, this idea of certain things that need to be in the bundle, and we need to be able to teach. We need to be able to teach the medicine wheel from the bundle. I had not been aware of that. So I had to make some adjustments to the things that are in my medicine bundle. Perhaps I should step back even further than that. The medicine bundle is a collection of items that have spiritual meaning for the medicine man, and they're sort of the conduit through which channels. I thought this is channels his power, like some sort of a television show, and that's not what I mean. It's I guess I mean the focus would be perhaps the best way I could put it. But in any case, Nemenha Medicine Man is supposed to be able to teach about the Nemenha medicine wheel, and the hoop, the eternal circle, and all that good stuff from the materials that are in his medicine bundle. So I had to make some adjustments to things I had in my bundle. And then I wrote up sort of a first draft of my bundle story. There are a couple fine adjustments I have to make, basically because I was writing it while I was staying at Chief Hoop Watchers during the week. And I didn't have any of my materials. I mean, they were all back at my parents' house in a box. So I had to sort of remember what it was I had at hand and then try and put together where I wanted those things and how I wanted those to relate specifically to the Medicine Hill story. So it took some time, took some thought, but I think it's mostly, as I'd say, what's sitting there on the website on mudtoesasquatch.com right now. It's the one you'll see when you bring it up, if you care to do that and to have a look at it, because it's the most recent one I've written. So it'll be the first one that comes up. I step through it. You know, what's in the bundle? Where do I put each thing after I open the bundle up? Because there's a definite system to it. Supposed to be a definite system to where each thing goes and what it means. So if you have an opportunity, stroll by the website, have a look at that. Maybe drop me a. See, I don't think you can drop me a comment on the website anymore because I was having a lot of trouble with people spamming me. I think I don't know what happens now when you try to leave me a comment, because I made it sort of a members only kind of thing, except I don't have a way to approve members, to give them credentials. Again, that's another thing I would have to talk to Iggy about. So maybe perhaps you could go there and read it and then try to leave me a comment and then report back to me what happened when you try to do that, so I can report that back to Iggy. The way you would do that is I have an email address, which perhaps you can guess is mudtoesasquatch. It's related anyway. It's mudtoesasquatch@gmail.com. So if you have comments, that's probably the best place to leave them. And I will try to remember to check their email address, because often I don't. Here's my other email address, the one that exists under my birth name. It's the one that pops up first, because it's the one I check most often. And perhaps I should change that. Or people wrote to me, I would. But anyway, I will make it, since I've gone out of my way to say that, I will make a concerted effort to check that email box more often. And that took care of that little bit of business. Now, that's actually a little bit of a meandering from what I had started to say. I just made a snap decision to start talking about with insights and got away from what I was going to start with, which is always what happens. I come into this with a plan. Within 5 minutes, the plan is completely destroyed. Now I don't know where I'm going. That's fine, because the whole point of this is for me to speak as Spirit inspires me to speak, not how I plan to speak or what impression I hope to give or what I hope to teach or what I hope to learn from you. It's all about Spirit kicking me in the butt, giving me this, say this, because I said so. I'm spending some time with Chief Iggy in his home, and I spend the rest of my time with my parents in their home, because I don't have a spot on my own, and that state of being is teaching me some lessons maybe that I would not 100% care to learn. I mean, it's not a particularly degrading way to live. Nobody I'm staying with anyway ever makes me feel bad about the fact that I have to stay with them. I do want to, especially in the case of Chief Big Eight, my hosts in Columbus, see if that's the name of my big city. I do think, yeah, it's Columbus, Ohio, that's it. I need to stay in his good graces, obviously, because I need a place to stay while I'm working in Columbus. At the same time, I'm nervous because I don't have a backup. You know, I was staying with my daughter for a while, and that didn't work out. And then another friend I was staying with ended up having to change places that she lived as well. And I don't think she hasn't said this, but I don't think she has her own place anymore either. So in any case, she hasn't indicated that I might crash with her again at some point in the future, so. And I didn't exactly ingratiate myself. I didn't do anything particular. This was during the time I was doing that jury duty, and I was there. You know, it's one of these things you didn't know where it was going to end. And I knew that there were some issues with my daughter at that time as well, so I was kind of feeling a bit high-strung about the situation. Plus, it was a very new situation. I had just, only a couple of weeks before, had I lost my apartment. I'm still adjusting to that. And I lost my wallet. Lost my wallet in her apartment, and she has cats. And the two of us, both of us, we blamed it on the cats. That one of them had probably taken the wallet and hidden it because that's something that cat did. He went to take things and hide them. And as I see now, on top of being in this jury duty 8 hours a day and trying to keep the peace with my daughter, on top of all that, I have to deal with replacing all those things in my wallet. And I made those feelings, very rather loudly known, and my friend had nothing to do with it. She sort of thought that I was yelling at her or blaming her for it, which I wasn't. For maybe I was a little bit, but it wasn't right for me to blame her. I was just blowing off steam mostly, but she took that sort of more seriously than I had intended it. So that may be another reason why I haven't heard much back from her. But hey, we're going to stop over again. But another alternative is needed. I must give he and his family a break from me from time to time, because the situation is likely to continue. I mean, unless some wonderful thing happens where I'm offered a full-time job and I can get my own place, or unless my name finally gets to the top of the waiting list for housing through the county, which we were told originally at least 6 months, and that would be in February. So I need to figure out ways to make this work in the long term. And one of the tools towards making this work in the long term is to have some stretches of time when I'm not there. Because it's their space. I am an interloper. It's kind of tiring keeping it in my mind all the time. It's especially tiring in the middle of the night when I'm trying to go upstairs and use the toilet, because there's no toilet down in the basement. I got to go upstairs, and I'm always paranoid that I'm going to trip over something or knock something over and wake up the entire household, and they're all going to be mad at me, and I'm not going to have a place to stay anymore, and so forth and so on. A couple days ago, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, something like this, during my most recent stay. I go up the stairs, and I take the left turn, around the corner, back towards the back of the house where the bathroom is. And when I arrive there, I find that something new has been added. Turns out, I found out later, that they've blocked off that sort of little entranceway to the hall. They put one of those gates in front of it, a baby gate. It was because of their dog. They're trying to keep the dog out of that area because she had been going back there and puking and or peeing. Or it was like the back of the house became her area to go and do her sort of nasty biological functions that she needed to do. But I didn't know that a gate had gone up back there. And it was a bit like I sort of felt it with my foot. You know, if I had been a little bit closer to it, I would have just, you know, walked, plowed right into it. As it was, I was far enough away when I took the step, but I felt it with my foot before I knocked it over. So, okay, how high is it? How is it sort of calculating how to step over it and not knock it down? Well, pee is running down my leg because I always wait far too long. It's fear. Fear is what it is. You know, I don't want to wake anybody up. I don't want people to be mad at me. And that was an issue. Again, I've finally gotten into this in some of my therapy sessions. And by the way, last week's show again got cut short. I announced, I don't know if this got out, that my therapist and I are back together. I thought that relationship might be breaking up. This therapist, I thought I might not be seeing her again because I couldn't. There was a problem with the people who scheduled the appointments. The information wasn't getting where it needed to get to. So the therapist has given me an alternate phone number to try when that happens, and that seems to be working out a lot better now. I wanted to make sure I said that on the air because several weeks ago I had made the comment on the air that I thought that the relationship, I think I'm getting a divorce from my therapist. I think that this therapy relationship is about to end. And I didn't want to leave that sort of negative nugget out there to just fester in the universe forever without having the circle closed. So just in case that didn't get out on the air last week, let me say it this week. The therapist and I are back together and we're happier than we've ever been. But we've been getting into some issues now, some heavier issues, because my therapist is also my caseworker. So, and helps me with my benefits with the county and so forth. So it seems like we spend a lot more time on that than we do on my therapy. But now there's kind of a lull in the need to fill out forms and so forth. So we've been able to do more on sort of the therapy side. And without going too much into it, because I don't want to turn this into a whine fest on my behalf. But my therapist pointed out, you know, I'm someone who doesn't have a lot of confidence in myself, and yet I have absolutely no problem standing up in front of people talking or getting up and acting on a stage or talking to people over this radio show. Although there aren't a whole lot of you out there anymore. At one time, there were more than there are now. Or, you know, conducting a class or, you know, helping people in a computer lab like I used to do. And there seems to be a disconnect on that. And we were exploring, of course, always goes back to childhood, but exploring things that happened in the past that sort of explain maybe where that comes from. And I find that work extremely satisfying. I love being in therapy. I can't imagine my life without. Well, I heard the comedian Spalding Gray used to say that he was afraid of being cured. He was always looking over both shoulders to make sure it wasn't sneaking up on him, because he knew that Freud had said that the cure for the final cure in therapy was the conversion of hysterical misery into common unhappiness. He wasn't sure that's what he wanted, and I'm not at all sure that's what I want either. But anyway, it's useful for me, just like this show is useful for me, to talk through things. As I talk about them, there's a what you call me? You wouldn't call him an educational theorist, but anyway, Piaget. Did a lot of work on how people sort of put things together. And there's a stage of development. I don't remember exactly which stage it was, but there's one of the characteristics. It's like children 8 to 10 years old, and there's a lot of, you know, sort of talking to themselves, talking through things, sort of giving themselves instruction, reinforcing one's own understanding of things by saying it out loud. And that typically fades, as I said, at around the age of 10 years old. Well, for me, it never faded. I'm still that child trying to convince myself that, yes, I have understood this. This is correct. I can proceed because I have a lot of trouble doing anything without permission. So we're working on that understanding. And next week, we're going to start working on my twisted relationships with women. So, I mean, my cure is probably not far away now. In other words, we are getting to the most entertaining of my issues. It could be perfectly fine. In the meantime, you know, I'm working at the hospital 2-3 days a week. The rest of the time, I'm home with my folks, trying to understand that relationship. I actually applied. I continue to apply for jobs. I went to a full-time job, and I concentrated on the university because I like it there. And because they already have all my information in their computer, so it takes me a lot less time to apply for their jobs than it does to apply other places. And I applied for a job that seemed to fit me pretty well, except for one area. There were four very specific areas, and there were three where I fit very well. And one that, you know, I don't really know how to do that. And I remember the one was about managing submissions to publications. Okay, I haven't done that before. But I'm quite confident I could learn how to do that. Pretty sure. You know, I'm a pretty sharp guy. I can learn how to do things. Well, I submitted the application. I was at the library. I came back to Iggy's house. I went to my computer and fired it up, and I had already received my rejection letter because I didn't know how to do that one because it was like a like 10 questions you have to answer before you know, submit, and that's what they look at is those 10 questions. Evidently, at least for that particular application, you had to answer all 10 questions exactly right properly or they wouldn't even read your resume, which is a huge, huge, huge part of my frustration with this whole process. You know, I can't get to a person to convince them what my qualities are that would be good for them. The fact that I've had these jobs all my life and learned how to do them while I was there. I am able to bring people together. I'm able to communicate at all sorts of different levels. But I can't explain that. You put it down on a piece of paper and people look at it and judge you without one ever talking to you. And that's what it's soul killing. Looking for work is a soul killing process. And there are more and more people out here walking around with dead souls. More and more people out of work, and there are going to be more and more people out of work until our brothers and sisters, the job creators, decide to start creating jobs that are interesting, that are fulfilling, and that you can actually make a living doing them. Okay, and that's after having briefly hopped up on my soapbox, I must now hop right back off because it's time for me to say good evening. Thank you for listening to me. Again, we'll hope that everything went out this week. I haven't seen anything bad happen on my little screen here. So fingers crossed, you have all heard my words, and I will be back next week at the same time with more words for you. Once again, thanks, and have a pleasant good evening.